You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Four World Cups, obviously something you would have liked to achieve. You didn't get selected for 2014. As somebody who's been used to having that golden child status, right?
Mm-hmm.
How crushing was that?
Devastating. Yeah.
Was that the hardest thing you've had to deal with
in my career,
football?
Yeah. Yeah, I remember crying in the stall right after. I learned a big lesson that day, though.
What was that?
Because Michael Bradley, Bees, and Kyle Beckerman came into the bathroom and, like, consoled me. And then I was, like, talking about depression, like, for a few weeks I was in a bad place. And then I started thinking about Kyle, because we had grown up together, too, playing at 16. And he had just found out he was going to the World Cup, and that was his first World Cup at 32. So he must have been, like, never happier, but he still came in and put his arm around me. Like in that moment, and that was so sweet. And I thought, like, I had never done that for anyone else. And I had always made the team and been the star and all that shit. And I had never done that for anyone. That's actually what, that moment helped me in coaching as much as anything.
But
like, because I could actually feel what it felt like to be the 18th guy or the 25th guy on the roster. And I had never felt that before.
But you say that, and when I got in the car accident, you sent me gifts in the hospital.
Mm.
Right? And
yeah,
you know, like,
but that was like on a personal, because like as a personal human being, I feel all that, like I'm an empath, like that compassion. But I'm talking about soccer wise I was always, like I was saying, I was just like obsessed with being successful, so I wasn't thinking about the other guys who weren't doing that, you know.
What did he send you?
Sent me a cooler and video games and you know, a card. And so I remember receiving it because I got a bunch of mail and letters and amazing tributes and stuff, from messages from fans and supporters and family. But in terms of like gifts, like from teammates, I think I could count on one hand. So the fact that it came from you.
How did you handle that? After the time, like after you got through, because what happens is like everyone's like, oh, sorry, what? And then you probably go through a few weeks or months and then you don't hear from anyone anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You just kind of, or like, it's not the same. So how did you, I always wanted to ask you that.
Well, the benefit for me was I was going through rehab with Gooch. And in my mind, the only thing that could get me going up every single day, waking up early, rehab from sun up to sundown every single day was, I can get back. Like, mm-hmm. I got to make up for this. Like, I let you guys down, I let my family down. I was like, if I can get back on the team and show, like, I've suffered all this pain, I went through all this, like, I suffered the repercussions. So now, let me make it up to you. Mm. And that was driving me forward. So I didn't have to think about shit, to be honest. I was like, let me just think about grinding. I'll go through the pain, but I'll get back on the pitch. And that's what's gonna get me through that. And then you guys can forgive me. That was my thought process.
Mm.
And then when you guys went to South Africa and I got that phone call from Bob, he's not gonna be able to take me to the World Cup camp, which is all I really wanted. I knew realistically I wouldn't get to play, but I was like, if I can get back to the camp and see everybody, like that'll be full circle for me. You know, at least I gave it my all to try and get back. But when y'all called me in the locker room and you guys were like, giving me low, you know, shout outs over the phone after you just beat Algeria. Like that was, I was like, this is why I did it. You know, this is why I consider you guys family. So for me, it was just, like I've done my whole life. It's like, I worked hard because I didn't have to think about all the things I was dealing with, and I could kind of get everything off my chest. So I didn't have that stress and pressure every day because I was working so hard that I'd say I'm gonna work it out. Like all this anxiety and stress and pressure and depression, the only way I can get through it is just by going out and working and doing extra. And the more extra I did, the better I felt about myself.
Hmm. How often do you still think about it?
Never.
Never. That's good. It's funny when that happened, like all humans go through, like you go through all the thoughts of like, what the fuck was he thinking? I feel so bad for him. Oh my God, the family, the girls, all that. Like as I get older and older, I think how many situations have I been in that could have ended that way? And how fucking lucky I was.
Close calls, yeah.
Jesus, man. You know? Like we've all been in bad situations and been in like places we shouldn't have been probably and done things we shouldn't have done. And like, man, it can go. We've been very lucky, man.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Going back to that 2014 situation, like for me, I still think that you would have been a difference maker. I don't know what the dynamic was between you and Jurgen, whether the sabbatical situation hurt you, because during the World Cup qualifying times, not being there and dealing with stuff, but still after all that, like, it's hard to say that, you know, you would have definitely made a difference for us in that team, and it was crazy. I think it just shook everybody up that you're not even being there.
You know, the hardest part, well, not the hardest part, but what was hard for me is I was genuinely, and people might have said bullshit at the time, but I swear to God, I was genuinely at peace with not playing a lot. Going there and I was totally fine with that. I knew I could help the team. Even if I didn't play a minute, I knew I could help guys in some way. I've been through all of
them. Sure, especially first game, Josie going down hamstring. Just,
yeah, and I recognized at that time too, I'm not a starter right now on this team. Maybe something happens, I get my chance. But I was totally at peace, but I don't think, I'm not sure the players believed that I believed that, and I know the staff didn't believe that. And I can't get into Jurgen's head, I don't know what he was thinking, but I wish I could have just been there to help. You know, that was the hardest part. I didn't care about going to another World Cup. I just wanted to do this thing again with all the, you know, like be a part of it again. And that was that part sucked.
You were left off that team too. Did that leave you feeling some kind of way towards Jurgen?
Towards Jurgen? No. When I came back to Philly initially from Europe and I came on loan, it was to get back playing so I can get back in the picture. I had missed like a long stretch of games, important games, like Clint was mentioning there. And in that period of time, other players had started to come into form and were playing more and playing more consistently. Kyle Beckerman had locked down that position. There was a change in tactics a little bit as well, started playing more of like a diamond midfield. So I knew it was a long shot, but I still thought I was gonna be part of the team, 2014. I'll never forget how it played out. Like we were coming back from like doing, I think it was the second session of the day. We were split into two groups. One group was like doing a regen. And I remember the timing of it
I thought was crazy.
Yeah.
It was weird because there were still people around, people walking in and out. It wasn't like
a set. Right.
It wasn't like there was privacy.
No, it was very much.
How did you get told? I'm curious.
So I'm walking back and I see Jurgen kind of talking one-on-one. I'm kind of like
trying to read it.
I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Putting two together.
What's happening over here? And then I see like them kind of like shake hands or whatever, some kind of exchange. And body language tells you like, oh shit, that wasn't a good conversation. But I'm like, damn, I'd hate to be him right now. That sucks. Go about my business. I'm talking to whoever I'm talking to, walking up. And literally about to walk, like, the door is at that couch. I'm probably just about here. Jurgen's probably where Landon is, maybe about a couple yards back. Mo, let me talk to you for a second. Heart dropped. I said, nah, bro, I almost wanted to ignore him. Like, nah, you ain't talking to me. I'm going in here to get changed and showered and whatever. We had the conversation, and he's like, so he says, right now, Jermaine's the six, and Beckerman is the backup, and Michael is a 10, and Mix, Discord, is the backup 10. Right. And I was like, okay, wait, like, why are you telling me this? Like, where are you going with this, you know, in my head? But obviously, I knew what it was at that point, and whatever. He says that, says a few other words of, like, you know, good camp, blah, 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 all that.
Blackout.
As soon as he said that, as soon as he laid out the positions, I was like, oh, that's it, huh? And, yeah, it sucked. I mean, same thing.
Cry?
I was, fuck, bro, I wanted the shower. I tried to get away from everybody. You know, you try to, like, cry and get that shit out of your system before the rest of the team walks in. It was one of them kind of moments. And in that time, I learned that he got cut, too. And I was just like...
Make you feel better about it in any way?
No. And maybe I just lost my mind. I'm like, what the fuck's going on right now? Like, I'm like, what just happened, you know? In my head, at some point, I could put ration to why I got cut. Because I was like, all right. Missed time, these guys played well. It wasn't like Jermaine was bad, like Beckerman was bad, and I'm like, these are two shit players, why are you taking them? These are good players, you know what I mean? Mm. So I could, in Landon's situation, I couldn't even imagine like what he must have been going through in that period. For it to have hit me the way it hit me, where I was a dark horse, I had a long shot, expectation was probably mixed. If you would have probably talked to pundits and media, it might have been like a split thing. Some would have, if it's four of you guys, you two might have said yeah, you two might have said no.
Mm-hmm.
In Landon's scenario, I think it would have probably been unanimous, like, although, whatever, he had a sabbatical, he went away
for
a
little bit.
Yeah, he's going. Fuck, talking about Landon Donovan. Like, what are you talking about? So, it was just a weird dynamic, and I remember our very first game, my very first game back was the same as his. We played against them, they waxed us 4-1, and it was just a crazy dynamic because, and I don't know how you processed it all, but playing that game, I was still shouldering so much of that weight of like disappointment, and again, not just from a personal standpoint, because it was just, it sucked too, because my family all came to that game. It's in LA. It should have been a game that I was excited to have my family there, but instead I felt like a burden, because I'm like, you guys are coming out here in numbers, it's even more so to support me because this has just happened, and I don't even want to see you. Like, I feel like I've let you down, I've dropped the buck.
Because how old were you at the time?
It was 2014, so. I'd have been like 27, 28.
Yeah. And it's... Because it's very rare that you can play in four. You know what I mean? There's only so many that you can be a part of, right? It's every 4 years. And that's... I think that's what's also the huge weight as well. Yeah. Because it's like...
Yeah. There's only so many chances.
How many opportunities am I going to get?
That's right. Exactly.
The only thing that was helpful was my dad was there. And like, he never gets to be at my games, right? And like, to have him there... Not even saying anything. Like at the time, his speech was incredibly slurred. He couldn't really communicate it that well. But just having him there on the sideline, knowing that like...
He turned up for you.
He turned up, but not even just he turned up, but like there was going to be no judgment. He just wanted to, like him being able to just witness me play. If I would have had the shittiest game of my life, if I would have scored 3 own goals, his appreciation, his reaction was going to be the same in that moment. And so like I needed that. And so that helped me, I think, in a big way. But still, in the back of my mind, I still always wondered like how you handled it, because in that game you played well. I don't feel like I played well in that game because I was still just so burdened by the feeling and the action of it.
I remember you saying like you were curious to know what he thought about it because you didn't connect.
Yeah.
At that point.
Yeah.
What I thought about.
Just not being selected.
Yeah,
by
I was just listening to you say that with the family stuff. Like you're also embarrassed. Like I was embarrassed to go back to my team. Because they're like, fuck, you didn't even make the team? You know, I was embarrassed. And with my family too, like, our families sacrifice so much, and so you feel like you let them down.
Yeah,
100%. Like, oh, you didn't make the team, you know? And that's a hard feeling.
You know what Mo said about, what the F are you talking about? It's Landon Donovan, of course he's gonna make the team. Did you feel like that? Were you like, do you know who I am?
No, not in that way, but I knew that I could help the team. Like I said, and I was at a point in my career if I was 21, I would have been like, do you know who the fuck I am? But at 32, I just knew I could help the team. And I remember saying, what I said to Jurgen was, I said, I respect your decision. There are guys, I said this, I'll never forget I said this, and it came to be true. I said, there are guys in here, in that locker room, who you're gonna take to the World Cup, who will play 3 or 4 or 5 games, will never play for the US again, will rarely step in the United States again, and don't give a fuck what happens to US soccer after this tournament.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
In general, that's something that you feel strongly, though, about, right? I've seen you talk about that on broadcast.
If you're going to play for your national, like, there's a different level of pride and caring that I believe you have to have in order to bring out everything that you can possibly bring out in a national team game. I believe that with all my heart.
Like, but in modern day life, like, split, I know, heritage.
I know. And well, look, I'm half Canadian, right? So like, I could have played for Canada.
Right? Yeah, I could imagine that.
Well, maybe now.
Yeah, maybe kinda, now. But
nice now.
You just took some L's back then.
You were a Canada kid? Nah.
So I totally get that. But I'm also like, I still have a real connection with Canada. Like, I feel connected to Canada, but I was only ever gonna play for the US.
You know, like, you just said, I totally get that. When I heard you say that, no disrespect, it didn't feel to me like you got it. It didn't feel to me like
you
understood
you
that if you, like, let's say you're Mo, right? And you have Nigerian heritage and American heritage, that you can identify with both
but
of those.
But there's a, of course you can identify with both, but that's what I'm saying.
Can you not identify with both of those and still love America?
Yes, that's what I'm telling you. Like, I, no question.
How do you judge that then? That's totally subjective, whether somebody loves America
enough. I agree.
I would say the sacrifices you're making for your country on a consistent basis shows how much you care. And if you're not there often enough, then it doesn't seem like maybe people are caring as much. For me, that's what shows you care, if you're there during the tough times, the grind, taking those trips, risking injury.
But
you're the same guy that wants to win at all cost, right? So don't you just
not with the national team. I don't feel that way. Not with the national team. I think there has to be something different inside you that drives you to play for the national team.
Isn't America a melting pot? Like,
yes.
Isn't that what America stands for?
I'm a melting pot. Like, I'm half Canadian, I have Middle Eastern descent, I have African descent, I have Irish, German descent.
So it's confusing to me. Help me understand this.
Yeah. I guess the best way I can explain it is, I am an example because I am extremely proud of my Canadian roots. Extremely. Like, I've known the national anthem since I was 8 years old. I watched hockey games with my dad growing up. Been to Canada countless times. I'm very proud. But I identify as an American. Like, I feel American. I would have felt fraudulent playing for Canada, even though I'm extremely proud of my Canadian roots. I would have felt like I'm not really Canadian in the same way. That's the only way I can describe it.
So the question is, like, if you weren't good enough to play for the US.
I was going to ask that.
And then you're like, oh, Canada's like,
that's a fair
we got
question.
An opportunity for you.
It's a fair question.
Because let's say a guy like Jermaine Jones, who's a perfect example.
Yeah,
who's gifted, question. But couldn't play with Germany.
For the record, by the way, for the record, Jermaine is not one of those guys I was referring to.
No.
Like, I think Jermaine cared. He.
But I'm saying,
I guess what they're trying to say is, what warrants you to believe someone cared enough? Explain that.
I didn't say cared enough. I said I would care more than they do.
Oh, okay.
That's what I said. And they won't, and I don't feel like they will care. That's just my feeling. I could be wrong. Other people can feel differently.
I was just saying, like, there's a difference between, like, a Jermaine Jones who would have played for Germany had they not been as good as they were. He chose the U.S.
Yeah, his first choice would have been Germany.
Right. He chose the U.S. because that was the only opportunity for him to play in the World Cup.
But to that, but his Jermaine mentality had is different. His mentality, he had to do something that made you say, oh, he
and he did. To his credit.
And like, what were some of those things that maybe some of these other guys didn't do?
All that. Like, you could tell he cared. When he was in, he cared. And it wasn't about him. It was about the country. It wasn't about playing in a World Cup or playing for a national team. It was about, like, I felt that way, at least. I don't know if you guys agree.
So is he an exception to that rule? You know what I'm saying?
Do you really think so? It's not a rule. It's not a rule. It's just, what?
I'm not questioning whether, like, I think isn't it always about us? Like, essentially, Jermaine wanted the experience of playing for a national team and playing
sure,
at a World Cup.
We all do.
It's not totally altruistic where, hey, I just care about the American soccer team.
I'm not suggesting that. But he did all the
sacrifices
things.
He made all the sacrifices.
And he showed that,
in the way
that over
which
time,
he played,
he
put
showed
his body
that he
on the line.
Yeah.
The travel, making sure that he was there for games.
But he also just felt like part of the group. Right? Like, he felt part, he integrated himself, it's like any player that comes to a club team, too. You don't integrate yourself and make yourself part of the team. It's like, okay, well, then it's just about you.
Were you on the broadcast when Lennon said that? Did you feel any kind of way about it?
My initial reaction was like, I got three kids that are, well, I have a third coming, but I have three kids who are gonna grow up that are gonna have so many components of them, Mexican, Nigerian, American, right? And so if the option comes up, I would want them to feel welcome in any direction, right, to all three of those countries.
But would you also want them to show that they're a part of those cultures, countries, national teams, et cetera?
Yeah, but how do you, so for the three of them, for example, I want them to play for the U.S., but if my child were to say, I want to play for Nigeria, or I want to play for Mexico, I would want them to go to that national team and feel welcomed, right? And feel like doors are open.
But there's
like
a lot of nuance here too, because your point was right. Like, but if they tried to play for the U.S. and they wanted to and they weren't good enough, then...
Even to that point, if they tried to play for the U.S. and they weren't good enough,
and that's why I'm
saying
it's a good question, because if I wasn't good enough and Canada offered me, being honest, I probably would have said yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
And so to that question...
But I also...
So then you'd be the person that you
ultimately... But I can only tell you what I feel, right? I don't, there's no like data to prove that what I'm saying is right. I just know that one, I cared a lot more about the national team and what happened to it at that time than some other people. That I, no doubt about that. Two, I didn't feel, and I think it's come to fruition, that they in any way were hurt by, devastated, disappointed in the same way that most were, that we did okay in the World Cup, but like when we lost or when it was over, that it was over. That's all, that was my point to Jurgen, is you're gonna have someone in who will fucking die for the country and the team, literally. Like, that's how I felt. And then you're gonna have some people who are just like, oh, it's a few games in the World Cup, it'll help my career, and then I'm gonna move on. And that's the way I felt.
Is there any legitimacy
Maybe I'm wrong.
To
I don't
that?
Know.
Do you think?
Yeah, I think there is legitimacy to that.
But I think also there's a way, and I'm with you in terms of thinking, when I was growing up, the national team was the biggest thing. It was the thing that I saw representing your country in a World Cup, packed stadium. That was always the dream for me as a kid. But at the same time, I think there's a way that you could play for both your country and your club with the same mentality that people feel like you'll die out there for them.
Correct.
That you will sacrifice, which is Jermaine, that you will sacrifice your body, put everything on the line.
I felt the same about the Galaxy.
Yeah.
So let me ask you this then, right? So just going back to that 2014 team, right? If that team goes on to make it to the semis, do you still feel the same way?
Yeah.
It's not
about the success.
But so how are you quantifying, or how are you like identifying their level of care? Because to me...
Because I saw it. I mean, I just saw it over months and months and months in camp. You used to come on, Mo.
No, I know. I'm just trying to figure out if
I'm just saying what everyone else was thinking. And no one's got the balls to say it.
No, I'm not. It's not even that. I'm just asking if you're saying that that equates to performance.
I think there is... I think there is... I mean, you can still perform without caring to that level. But I think there's something more you're willing to give when you care at that level, at the level I cared, and many others did.
Which essentially you're saying is Jurgen brought players who felt that this was an opportunity just to raise their profile to play in a World Cup because they weren't going to get it in any other country, representing any other country, to compete and use that as a springboard.
I think a few players, if you sat them down with a lie detector test, would say, yeah, that's what it was. And in fairness to Jurgen, like, he just wanted the best team possible. So it's fine. If he thought that was what the best team possible was, that's totally fine.
Do you think that felt offensive to a certain section of America, you saying that? And does that perturb you in any way?
Yes and no.
Interesting.
I mean, it's just my feelings. I have a lot of feelings that people don't agree with.
And you're cool with that?
Well, what am I gonna, I can't. I'm 41, Kate, I got 3 kids.
Can't fake how you feel, I guess.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
So you admitted you were dual national. I didn't see that one coming. I thought when you admitted that, you were going to say US-Mexico. No. Can we talk about that, Landon?
I feel like we need to talk about that.
Practice that on the flight over?
No, I'm sure everybody here has got thoughts about Landon and his promotion for Mexico. 2018 World Cup, let's set the scene.
All right, let's get
USA
it all out.
Doesn't make it. Landon decides to pledge his Therapy. Allegiance to the CONCACAF rivals, Mexico. Was it just a money thing?
Partially.
That's Partially. Honest.
Like 80%, yeah. 90%?
No, I mean, it wasn't life-changing.
Okay.
But I, you guys, I see the world differently in a lot of ways. I think people have realized that. During World Cups, I'm not ashamed to say I root for CONCACAF teams, other than the US, if we're not in it or if we're not playing each other. I do. I think that's good for our region. I think that's good for soccer here. Aside from that, I grew up with Mexicans, all Mexicans. And so the weird part for me has been during my career, I was always at odds with the Mexican national team. But that always got perceived as being at odds with Mexicans or Mexican people. But the rivalry was between me and the Mexican national team and a number of their players. So I've always known what that was, but I think from a public perception and the way human beings want to pit people against each other, it's all Mexicans, all Americans, we all hate each other, we all fight, we're all rivals. For me, it was about the national team. So there's a lot to unpack there. I'm sure I want you guys to give me your thoughts. We can get it all out. But I don't regret any of it. I don't have any shame in it.
There can't be any other choice you've made where you got more crap.
No, I mean, there's some regret in how, you know, like holding a scarf that says my other team is Mexico was not smart, right? I'm glad you guys think that's funny.
That's a statement.
I'll just tell you guys that it was an end of a long day. There was props, lots of different things. We were taking pictures, whatever. I didn't even see the scarf. I didn't even know what it was. But I should have been more aware of what I was doing. I wouldn't have made that choice. But as an overall decision, I have no shame in saying that I support, you know, when Costa Rica's in the World Cup, I support them. When Canada's in the World Cup, obviously I support them. When Mexico's there, I support them.
And shoot, Mo's married to a Mexican, and you still root for them to lose.
And you still have problems with it.
It's banter. I bet with her mom every day, every time that we play, and I'm...
You're up right now.
This generation got me nice right now, I'll tell you that much. I think, hearing the way you explain it there, it's...
But here's the problem, Mo. Let me stop real quick. And this is the problem in our country right now, and I'm glad we're doing this, because when you sit and talk about it, there's more nuance to everything. And the problem is we read a scarf, And you're like, oh my God, and you think something about, well, why don't we have a conversation? I can explain it. Nobody wants time for that. So in everything in our world now, it's like black or white, Trump or Biden, red or blue, this or that. And it's like, well, can we have some conversation, be some nuance about it? We're actually more similar than we think we are, right? So
But I also think that if when we make decisions to do certain things, right, we have to also recognize that what we decide to put out there is going to be put under that microscope of where people have to just judge it, because
for sure
a conversation can't follow in every scenario, right? So like,
well, or people don't want to, and I'm guilty of this, you don't care about the conversation. You just want to make a decision on it, make up your mind about it, move on to the next thing, right?
Yeah. I hate doing things to where I have to now justify them.
Explain it, yeah.
I'm not perfect. I've said a lot of stupid shit, done a lot of stupid things to where my initial thoughts were just like, my man done lost his damn mind. I said, this payday must have been crazy for him to do this. Like,
well, yeah, I mean, I wouldn't have done it for free.
Yeah.
So how do we get you here then? How we get you to come today, bro?
I did it for free.
So here's a real question.
What would the money amount have to have been for you to go, okay?
I mean, I'm someone, when you talk about money,
you would never.
My ears perk up a little bit, but that situation.
Eyes too.
I feel what you're saying.
You have to believe it.
I feel what you're saying in terms of like, you want to see CONCACAF teams do well because it makes your region look better and have more weight to qualifying in this region. And it gives you more like respect and credibility. But in terms of like that situation, that's a tough one for me. You know what I mean? But at the same time, you got to feel a certain way. You know what I mean? You had reasons to back the reason why you felt that way, and it's good to hear you explain that. But for me,
but you still think it's effed up, huh?
I don't think I could do that.
I think the hardest part is because it's him. When we think of U.S. soccer, the first names that are mentioned are yours, so you're almost like synonymous with that brand and with that, and you're laughing, and with U.S. soccer, and so like. Now
so if Timmy Chandler had gone and done it, you wouldn't have had a problem?
He would have said, oh, I knew that.
I think there's going to be an immediate reaction if a U.S. player does this, or a Mexican player would have done the same thing, the reaction would have been crazy, just initial reaction. But I think for it to have such a lasting effect is more so because of who you are, right? And how you become
we'll dive a little deeper here. Not that anyone cares, but we'll dive a little deeper. So there's... I'm a realist, but I'm also an idealist. So in a perfect world, in my opinion, in a perfect world, we're getting way deeper here, but I'll just say it, all borders wouldn't exist and we'd just be people, human beings, right? In a perfect world. You wouldn't be a Mexican or American, you'd just be human. You wouldn't be Afghani or Nigerian, you're just a human, right? I understand how the world works, why it is that way, how borders have come to be and countries, whatever. But to me, it just creates separation and like tribalism, fighting against each other, right? So I don't view a Mexican national team as a rival to us. And obviously no one took it more seriously than I did, because I enjoyed beating their ass every time. But in a perfect world, we're all just human beings and we're not. Now it's weird to say that because I competed against other countries for a living, but that's at my heart. That's what I believe. And so I have no problem.
If this was Mexico people in general, the country. And,
well, that's why, but Charlie, that's what I was saying.
Yeah.
Right? Well, like I have friends who like cry when Mexico loses, and I like seeing them happy and enjoying when Mexico does well. And that's why I've always felt that way about Mexicans.
Do you like just being different though? Is there part of you that just like enjoys
like Alexi,
riling people?
Right? Like Alexi does it just to do it, you know?
That's not you.
It's just the way I am. I don't do it. It's not calculated. I'm not trying to, it's just the way I think.
Let's say you saw Messi, for example, holding up, Barcelona didn't qualify for Champions League somehow, some way, and he's holding up the Real Madrid jersey saying, but no, I'm saying if we're not gonna go to the countries, like, because I feel like with club teams sometimes, I feel like a club team is different than a national team, although the national team landscape has changed because you can change.
Less tribal
you
or more tribal?
Less because you can choose your team. Right.
I was just gonna say the difference is, you choose your club team.
Well, you
don't choose where you're born.
That's what I'm saying.
You can choose your country now.
I just said it's a little bit.
Touche, Chuck. Touche.
I said that. I said it's a little bit different now. It's a little bit different now. My point is that I think the reaction would still be, "The hell are you doing?" Like if it's Messi holding up a Real Madrid jersey, because
for sure.
And that's not even as deep, because that's not the country he plays for. Mm-hmm. That's not the birth country for him.
He's part of the fabric.
It's wild that they thought to approach you. That's crazy to me that they thought, here's an idea. Let's go for Landon.
Actually,
Donovan.
It's not how it happened.
Oh, how did it happen?
We actually spoke and talked about how we can. So where it all initiated was, like every partner of the World Cup, Wells Fargo had, and by the way, I've been with Wells Fargo for 8-10 years, so I have a tight relationship with them.
You bank with them?
I do.
Okay, make sure.
Thank you.
Make sure
you're
that.
Thanks for
where's your money at?
I do bank with them.
Get your money where your mouth is.
I do.
Let me know where your accounts are.
All right.
I don't mean, I don't,
you
by the way.
You tied enough, you bank with them, all right.
So Wells Fargo, they made your money?
I'm starting to believe you a little bit more.
They made me money, yes. So they were worried, like everyone else, when the U.S. didn't qualify, how do we make this as successful as possible, right? Like Fox was worried because they had the rights. Univision, I think, had the rights. All the part, Wells Fargo, Coca-Cola, everyone. It's like, okay, we just lost 30% of what our anticipated revenue because the U.S. isn't involved. So they came to us and said, what are some interesting ideas? And we just brainstormed whatever, and that's how it eventually came about. Well, what if we did something with Mexico? Because I want to support them and Costa Rica and everybody else in the World Cup. And that's how it all formulated. So they didn't, it's not like they had
was
an
idea,
and came. I don't remember how it all came about, but we all,
yeah,
you know,
it was his
brainstorming.
Idea.
I mean, eventually I
did. Hey, where was Costa Rica at?
Costa Rica like, hey, what the fuck?
We got screwed.
Costa Rica like, hey, ¿qué haces?
Hey, take his cup away.
I know, seriously.
Take his cup away.
Oh, ay, Dios mío.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Going back to kind of the rivalry between you two and where we started some of this conversation, tied for all-time leading score, is it 57 goals each for the U.S. men's national team? How much does that irk you? There must be those moments that you look back and think, man, if that one had just gone in.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't, because I was
on... Clint!
Well, I'm leaving.
No,
stop
hey,
it.
Hey,
stop it.
I thought this was a real conversation.
There's only a certain amount of bullshit I can listen to.
Hey.
And I don't reach my quota with that
say
comment.
Say what you got to say, and I'm going to speak my truth.
All right, hold on. But if this...
Come on,
this,
man.
If y'all let Landon slide with that shit, y'all got to let me slide with this. Fuck. Come down. Sit down. Hold on. Wait a minute. Something ain't right.
I thought this shit was real.
No.
He said,
I'm okay with it. Wait, here's the situation. Did I want to have more goals than him? Hell yeah, I did. But for me, that doesn't eat me up inside is I had to have two heart procedures to then come back and then to get a few more goals. That was borrowed time to me. My career could have been over. You know what I'm saying? Like, I was lucky enough to come back, get called back in, and to make the impact, get the goals that I did to even tie that number. Do I wish I would have broke the record? Hell yeah. There ain't no question. I'm out there to be the best I can be, take it as far as I can take it. I mean, going back to my very first cap, to put things in perspective, I was a damn holding midfielder. I didn't give a damn long as I got in the field. And then most of the time, I was outside mid. I wasn't striker till later in my career, which is opposite for you. You were striker more so earlier, and then you dropped back to midfield. So, yeah, it irks me that I didn't break the record, but at the same time, I'm at peace because, like, shit, I came back from two heart procedures just to tie it.
Amen. So I watched. So my perspective was I watched him like get closer, and I was like, quit fucking scoring. You know, like, of course.
And then he told Bruce to make me a super sub, stop starting me.
Shit. He said, hey, Bruce, I'll never forget Bruce
for that. Man, I always had me as a sub at the end.
What's the story?
Nothing. I just felt like I was never his guy.
But Lanton was his guy.
Oh, really?
More so than me.
Oh,
yeah.
He loved you.
But
dude.
Definitely way more than me.
I was around him forever.
You know what I'm saying? I was like a damn foster kid.
Redheaded.
Hey, bro. I want to go to McDonald's. What's that? He just drive past every time. I'd be thinking, come on, I want a Happy Meal. Like, it was a situation where, like, when I first went into the national team, I barely got in. And then at the end, I was like...
He barely got in.
Bro, I barely got in again. I was like, what the hell? I couldn't win with him.
Was your perception different?
No, but actually the way I think of it is... You can look at it different ways. I can be like, if I would have scored that goal or that goal, it would have been one more. But then I think about, when was your first cap? How old were you?
I was 21. It was in 2004.
So I started 3 years earlier. I think I played more games than you, didn't I? Like, way more.
Yeah.
I took all our penalties. You didn't hardly, like, he could have beat me by 20. So I'm like, I'm just grateful. But I also think it's fitting.
Oh, that's interesting.
I do. I think it's like appropriate in a weird, like weird way.
But yeah, he had way more assists than me.
Did you care about scoring goals? Like, did you have the same?
Not the obsession like he had. And that's why he was like so good in the box.
Were you conscious of, because like there's this recent, I think it was on Twitter maybe that it came out about the international assists and like how you have the
about
most.
About the what?
International assists. I know he's not speaking properly. He had too much strength, but...
International assist is what I said.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what did you say?
You slurred it up.
What did you say?
You're like the world leader in assists in international...
World leader.
In national teams?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So that's your reaction, right? So you didn't even know. That just recently came up because I think Neymar...
But do other countries even keep assists?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Keep track of it?
Right?
But my point is, is that something
that's
that,
crazy,
like...
That's crazy, Landon.
Number
no,
one
you know
in the
what
world.
I... he was a killer, like, in the box, like, killer. I watched my dad play hockey growing up, and I would always go to the rink. It was, like, freezing cold. I would sit there in the rink, but I watched him play, and it seemed like he always made the right decision in, like, the goal-scoring opportunities. So, like, if it was the right play to pass,
you were selfish.
Then he would pass.
Damn, I read between lines here.
No, but I gave up a lot. Like, you scored goals that maybe I would have had a chance to score because you were, like, willing to take the risk. But I was like, you know what? Probably not the best chance. I'm going to, you know, whatever. We'll circulate the ball and try again or whatever. But I always just tried to make the best decision in front of goal, regardless if it was shooting or not. And I actually, my biggest fault, like, Bruce used to get pissed at me, like, just be more selfish. Just take it and fucking run by someone and shoot. And I don't know. I didn't view it that way. I just wanted the best chance to score. So that's probably why I like valued both equally.
Just to go back to that stat that you shared. So all-time leading assists internationally, globally, right? You're number one on the list. The other top four, or to make up the top four, it's Neymar, Puskas, and Messi are your other three on that list, along with you, top four.
Suck.
You didn't
that's
know
why.
This? Did you really not know this?
No, I had no idea.
Does it not blow your mind to hear that?
Well,
that's,
I mean,
crazy,
those guys weren't playing Grenada and St. Kitts and Nevis in qualifying, you know?
Stop it.
No, you're very humble.
Oh,
but
this
come
guy.
On.
I don't even know who he is anymore. I remember this guy when
what
I was
are you
in camp.
Talking
but, like,
about,
we, scored, we had a lot of games.
There, I was one of those assists.
I remember, bro. This guy was a killer, bro. He's trying to act all Mr. Nice, Dalai Lama over here.
I got an assist in Mexico from you.
I remember when you'd shoot. I'd shoot sometimes with my right foot. You'd say, oh, you should shot that with your left. Or... you know, someone's
scored
a hat trick. Hey, someone's done that before. Like, you know what I'm saying?
See, now this guy's coming out.
Hey, he's Mr. Nice Guy now that he's retired. But when he was playing, hey, don't get it twisted. He was about that. He was about that life.
Did you have a mean streak?
not mean, but like
he lost his
competitive.
But he scores goals, so we really don't care. He lost his temper.
I do have a temper. Yeah, that's right.
So what are we gonna do for a tiebreaker for this?
I was gonna say
all-time tied, 57 goals apiece.
You weren't like a speaker, but when you did speak, it was like, oh shit.
You got an idea? Go on.
Yeah.
Oh, go on.
Better hairline.
Pardon? Shut up, man.
Why are you guys laughing back there? Shit ain't funny.
Give me a real tiebreaker.
I say.
You went to Turkey and paid for yours.
I know you guys have been thinking about this all day.
For real. Who got bigger eyes?
No, we like a real compliment. Give me a arm wrestle, flip cup.
I don't think there's anything I can beat Deuce at now. Not even golf.
Well, hey, why can't we just?
Didn't you hear what I said?
I'm at peace. Guys, we can always be tied.
Okay, we're both at peace with it.
Yeah, we're both.
I don't think Clint's at peace.
Did you not hear that?
Clint, I think Clint wants to win.
Yeah, Clint said we are at peace.
Clint, no peace with you.
Land, did you know what In the Mixer is?
No,
it's not. Okay, so it's like a questions game that we play. Like,
my bag was hurt.
It doesn't have to be quick fire, but I'm going to give you a bunch of questions before we let you go, okay? This is the last thing we're going to do with you. Who would portray you in your biopic?
I thought you said betray.
No, like a portray, lot of people. Sorry.
Portray me? You guys want to weigh in on this?
Al Pacino.
Larry David. Yo, why'd you laugh like that?
You guys are fucked up,
Are you kidding
man.
Me?
Hey, you're fucked up. who would portray me? What do you think, Kate?
Matt, I don't know.
How about Matthew McConaughey?
I like it as a pick.
Okay. He's a little bald too, right?
Mm. No. What's your favorite Clint story?
Oh, that's a good. Oh, I'll tell you my favorite. I mean. It's disgusting, but it's my favorite. It tells you everything you need about Deuce. I've told you this before. So I walked into the training room one day, and Deuce was on the table with our team doctor, and I saw him just going, and I'm like, what the hell is going on here? I watched the doctor pull off his toenail, his big toe, literally bit by bit, pulled out. He had like gotten hit on his toe, was bleeding, and I watched him rip off his toenail. And I was like, God, what kind of like numbing cream did you give him? He goes, nope, didn't give me. He didn't want anything. I was like, are you fucking kidding me? I watched him ripped off his hotel nail. I was like, God damn.
Why would you be offered numbing cream and say no?
Because he didn't need it.
Gotta go and
some
get
people
that
just feel different.
He was like that gator.
Is there anything you didn't ask that you want to ask?
Mm. Is there anything you didn't say you wanted to say?
I think we've said it all.
Have you been drinking since the break?
I might have.
This whole segment has gone AWOL because of this man.
No, seriously, Landon, we really appreciate you coming through.
My pleasure. Sure. Thank you.
Take a look at a sneak peek of next week's episode of Kicking It.
What drove you to take on dominating this media space and hosting?
Intended to dominate this media space. I didn't know what I was doing in this media space. I just kind of landed here somehow. I wanted to be a translator. I had moved to Spain when I had finished high school, so I was like 17. I had done my degree in Spain, and then I went to Germany. I got offered like an internship at a TV station, and they had a sports anchor who was kind of volatile. And he anchored the sports news, and he stormed out one day. He quit over a dispute. And so they decided they wanted to cast within the network. And the boss of the network came to me and said, I think you should try out. You already know the system. We know you can write scripts. You should try out. And I said, no, thank you. I have no interest in trying. I don't want to be on TV. And he said, just do me a favor. Just do it. If it's terrible, we'll never talk about it. But what you got to lose? Just do the casting. And I'll leave you alone. So I did the casting. It was like it was like sports news, so you're at a desk. I did not know what to wear. So
you weren't wearing your Fendi and Armani.
I borrowed a blazer off someone. It was too big for me. It was like an orange blazer. I looked about 40. And I did this casting, which I've since seen. Somebody sent it to me. Horrific. It's terrible. Really bad.
Jeremy Renner returns to Paramount Plus for a brand new season of the original hit series, Mayor of Kingstown.
My job is to create a balance, avoid a war.
From executive producer Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone.
There's some new players in town, and they brought the plague.
And Antoine Fuqua, director of Training Day.
I know it's always been a war zone, Mike, but this is next level.
The mayor is back in business.
Are you warning me?
You're going to find out.
Mayor of Kingstown. New season streaming June 2nd, exclusively on Paramount+.